I think my battery died. Ephesians chapter 2, there you go. It's always good to have a backup. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. If you're looking in your pew Bible, you'll be on page 827. I invite you to hear these really beautiful words from the Apostle Paul. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the desires of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in his transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with him in Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, you all may have seen this trend on social media recently, where they show you pictures of people who are in different leadership positions, but they're children's pictures. Then they have this picture and they're like, "This is the person who, in my case, preaches your sermons or leads your staff." Have you seen these? Well, I had the enviable task of producing some children's pictures for Katie to use on our social media. Like a lot of things in life, I was last minute. I was jogging one morning over at the track, and I texted my mom and I said, "Could you send me some pictures of me when I was a child? Oh, and by the way, today would be great." And so she texted me these different pictures. And as I was driving home and I got back to the house and I was thinking which picture I wanted to send to Katie to be on our social media channel, you can imagine that I gave a little bit of thought and discretion to that. As I was flipping through those pictures, I was reminded that I haven't always been this cool. I'm flipping through there and I'm looking at, you know, different ways I used to dress. I'm looking at different ways, you know, let's just say that all of my children have already far exceeded any athletic ability I ever had. And if you would like a picture of me in my uniform, just see me afterwards and I'll show you what it looks like. That's not the one I chose for the social media channels. But as we look back on our past and we reflect at who we are and the ways in which perhaps our fallenness was on display, there's a part of us that we very much like to forget different chapters of our life in the past. Is there not? There's a part of us that I thank the Lord that I wasn't born in Birmingham or Mountain Brook. That I have a whole past life that you know nothing to next to little about. And I'm grateful for that. That there are moments in which I was not who God wanted me to be, that I wasn't on his path that he would have for me, that I didn't respond to who he called me to be in faith and obedience. And there's so many things that I look back on to that chapters or those chapters in my life, and I am beyond grateful at God's grace and his mercy to see me through those, to surround me with faithful people who would also call me to a better, more faithful life in Jesus Christ. And as I think about those different chapters in my life, I look at some of those pictures and I'm like, is that even me? Have you had that experience before? You look at that picture and you're like, I know that that has to be me, but surely that can't be me. The farther you get away from your past, the easier it is for you to forget it. And to also forget the fact that the people that you engage with, Perhaps they are not as far along in their relationship with Christ as you are by God's grace and His mercy and His kindness. And when that happens, when we forget our past, when we forget the ways that we've strayed from God's will for us, when we forget the depths of our sin and our need for Jesus Christ, you and I, if we're not careful, develop a certain pride and arrogance in our hearts. As we read the New Testament, the people that I find Jesus having the biggest trouble or complaint with are the people who trusted in their own righteousness, or the ones who thought that they had it all together and they had it all figured out, and they looked at others with contempt. And they had this heart and this mind. They said, why can't you get it together? Why can't you be more enlightened like me? And it's those people, as I read the Gospels, that Jesus zeroed in on the most and reminded them of their great need for Him and the great compassionate heart that God has for all people. When you read the Bible, part of what ought to happen is that it ought to remind you that we have a checkered past as the people of God. It's not a very flattering story. When you read about Adam and Eve being created and God providing everything for them, you would think they would respond in obedience and faith, but did they? They did not. You read about people like Abraham, and there's part of us who are like, man, Abraham, what a guy. What a person of faith. What is somebody that you and I could model our lives after? And we sometimes forget that when he was in danger and felt threatened, he was like, not my wife. My sister. Good luck, Sarah. You continue to read through and you see all these stories that remind us of God's people and their inability to respond appropriately and in faith. And it's God's mercy and His kindness and His steadfast love when He continues to pursue them, even when they've done nothing to deserve of His love. There's a psalm, I think it's Psalm 78. And in Psalm 78, it says, hey, don't forget to tell future generations the story of God's people. And if you and I were writing it, we would think to write what? All the highlights. Remember all the wonderful things and the ways in which God's people set the example, the ways they lived into God's faithful call upon their life. But you know what Psalm 78 really is a reminder of? The disobedience of the people. And it's a warning, don't be like them. You continue to read all throughout the scriptures, and God over and over again uses people who are not the ones that you and I would put as first ballot people to be used in God's kingdom. And if you think about your own story and your own testimony, there's one thing that I would think that would be true. I would almost bet all the money in my wallet, and I actually have some this morning. It's rare. That there's an episode in every person's life in this sanctuary or upon the hearing of my voice that you are glad is in your past. And there would be a certain mortification if you thought that's going to be displayed for everybody. But we forget that part of who we are. And the farther we get away from it, the more you and I are tempted to think, we got this together. That I somehow earned this, or I somehow, God is in my debt. When you get to a passage like Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is using really powerful language to remind us of our past. He's trying to remind us where it is that we come from and God's great love and mercy for us in the person of Jesus Christ. Why? So that no one might boast. Listen to what Paul says in verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the spirit of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Now, in this section of Ephesians 2, Paul uses a lot of you, we. And the things that he says about you, we are not very flattering. He says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. I don't know what language Paul could use to make you feel more in need of God's grace and mercy in your life. Not you were just kind of a little bit off the path. Not you just needed a little bit of direction. Not like you're bowling and you just need the bumpers to be up. It's just kind of that errant shot, it comes back in. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, living just like everybody else, pursuing the same things that they're pursuing, living according to the passions of your flesh. And then he says, we all once lived in that way. And then in verse 4, he makes this change. And notice that there's nothing here yet about anything that you've done. That when he gets to this turning point in this section of verses, he's now going to focus your heart and your mind all on what God has done for you. But God, being rich in mercy. Because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, has done what? He has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. At every point along the way, Paul is saying, this is what God has done for you. This is who you were. Now this is what God has done for you. And he has done it because of his great love that he has for you. Because he is rich in mercy. That everything that God does for us in bringing us to saving faith in Jesus Christ is not a result of our works or something that we deserve. And I can just tell you, as I've been reading through Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8 and really all of Romans, there's been this rediscovery in my heart and my mind of how much I need the grace of God in the person of Jesus Christ. It's not that when I was in seminary, if they gave me a test, I couldn't say the right things. I couldn't say Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, or I couldn't point you to other passages of Scripture that speak to our desperate need for God's grace in Jesus Christ. But it is one thing to give mental assent to that truth, and it is another thing altogether to feel deeply in your heart that there is nothing that you are bringing to this salvation that God has given you. There is no merit. There is nothing that God looks at me apart from his grace and his mercy, and he moves toward me in the person of Jesus Christ and does something nothing short of resurrection power miraculous in my heart and my life. And God is just reminding me, and perhaps he's using me to remind you, that all the ways that God has shown his kindness and his grace and his mercy to you in the person of Jesus Christ, it's all something that he moves toward you because of he loves you with your great love that he has for you, and there's nothing that you've done to earn it. There's a passage here that's probably very familiar to some of you. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one might boast. If there's one thing that ought to not exist in the world, it's a boastful Christian. One thing that should not exist in the world is a proud and arrogant and boastful Christian. Because we recognize our desperate need, that we were dead in our sins and our trespasses in which we once walked, that we were just like all the rest of mankind, that we were deserving of God's wrath and his judgment and his punishment. But God, because he is rich in mercy and grace and abounding in steadfast love for us, he did something for us, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we could never do for ourselves. And it is 100% all gift. It's all gift. May turned 7 yesterday. That's absurd. But we gave her gifts, largely that Mary in her kindness procured. If I'm being transparent with you, there's a lot of dads smiling at me currently. But you give that gift and she receives it, and it's all gratitude and thankfulness, right? It's not, I worked out in the yard or I made my bed or I did whatever to earn this. No. It's an expression of love and kindness that you give a gift and you receive it. And the reaction that you ought to give at receiving a gift is gratitude and kindness. To step back and say, whoa. That God would give us such a gift in the person of Jesus. But you and I have to always bring ourselves back to this, because we are more conditioned by the norms and the values of the world than we would like to think. We're going to look at the book of Deuteronomy later this summer. Some of you are so excited as I say that, if you're being honest. But the book of Deuteronomy is preparing the people to go into the promised land and live faithful lives. And the warning there over and over again is be careful. You're going from the desert. You're going from knowing that you are dependent for God to provide everything that you need. And you're about to go into a place that they have houses. And they have vineyards. And there's going to be a part of you that you're going to say, wow, look at what we've done. Look at what we've earned. Aren't we wonderful and special? Surely it's because of our righteousness that we get to experience all these things. Surely it's because we're better than the people who experience God's judgment. And at every point along the way, the book of Deuteronomy is saying, preach to your heart that everything that you will experience in the days ahead, it all comes from God's mercy and his grace and his kindness, and so you should live in humble dependence and obedience upon him. How'd that work out? Not well. And so we stand in the tradition of a group of people who are prone to trust in our own righteousness and our own ability and our own power. And into that world, we read Ephesians chapter 2 that says, don't forget where you come from. As you think back on your life before you came to saving faith in Jesus Christ, don't forget that you were like the rest of mankind, that you were alienated from the Lord, that you were strangers, that we, as people who are Gentiles, didn't even have access to the covenants and the promises and all the things, this rich history. We didn't even have access to all of that. But God in his grace and his mercy has brought us and he's grafted us into his people. And the resultant attitude of our hearts ought to be one of incredible humility, of incredible gratitude for what God has done for us. And to make us people, when we see other people who haven't yet come to saving faith in Jesus, you know what we're tempted to do? We're tempted to be so frustrated by who they are and they can't get their act together. We're tempted, though we're more refined. Most of you wouldn't say it. I wouldn't say it. I'm tempted to think that I'm somehow better than them. And then that doesn't give me much of a heart for evangelism. It doesn't give me much of a heart to move toward them with the good news of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. and invite them to experience what I've experienced in Jesus. But if God awakens us to the reality of our story, that this is who we were apart from God's grace and mercy, then in His grace and His mercy, He has saved us. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, He's given us a gift so that no one may boast. I think the world is ready for a group of humble, meek Christians to bear witness to the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. Not people who are mad or arrogant or proud, but those who just simply say, hey, let me tell you my story. Let me show you some of my children's pictures where I look ridiculous. Let me tell you some of the things that I did, but God was so gracious and merciful, and He will offer that same thing to you. Let me be known as a people here at Mount Brook Baptist Church where we don't have a category for proud or arrogant Christians. We're humble. We're amazed at God's love, and we offer that same gift to anyone who will listen. I invite you to pray with me. Father, we thank You for Your grace to us in Jesus. And even as there's a part of us that we like to pretend or act like we have it all together, there is a great relief in acknowledging to You that we don't. That acknowledging to other people who are around us, Lord, that we are desperately in need of the grace that You've extended to us in Jesus, and that it is all gift. So, Lord, we pray that You would help us to be people who never boast, that if we boast in the cross of Jesus Christ, and we invite other people to experience the life that You would have for them to know. We thank You for all that You've given us in Jesus. We offer this prayer in His name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you feel like the Lord's calling you to make a profession of faith in Jesus, you've never yet confessed your sins and turned to Jesus in faith, I'll be at the front to receive you if you feel like God's calling you to do that. Or as an aside, if you would love to get together and ask questions and talk about that more deeply, nothing would make me more excited this week than to get together with you and talk about the gospel. Or if you feel like God's calling you to unite with us and be a member here at Mount Brook Baptist Church, however God leads you to respond, I invite you to do so as we stand and sing.